Governor J.B. Pritzker, in his second week on the job back in 2019, signed a document joining Illinois to the U.S. Climate Alliance. The state would be committed to the emission reduction goals of the Paris Climate Agreement.
During the campaign, I ran on a bold agenda to protect our environment, to help our workers thrive, and to build the 21st century economy that our state deserves. We're already on a path to 25% of energy coming from renewable energy sources by 2025. I believe that we have the opportunity to put our state on a path to 100% clean energy, renewable energy, and I'm here to lead the way there.
In the nearly 3 years since then, Pritzker has not been shy about saying he thinks Illinois is doing great on climate change. He frequently says our state is leading the nation and making history, and that all may be, but according to the Federal Energy Information Administration, the electric power sector is no longer the greatest source of carbon dioxide emissions in Illinois. Back in 2018, for example, burning coal and natural gas pumped 67 million metric tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. 67. And that number's been on the way down. But the transportation sector was responsible for more than 70 million metric tons of CO2 that year, and that number has been creeping up. And yet the state is investing in all kinds of highway expansion projects, all of which raises the question, do Illinois' transportation policies and spending priorities match its climate goals? To talk about this, I'm joined now by Yonah Freemark, who researches cities, transportation, and housing at the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C. Yonah, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Also with us is Jennifer Walling, Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. She's been in the room where it happens, as they say, for many of Illinois' recent policy and legislative changes on climate. Jen, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much.
So, Yonah, it was something you said on Twitter that inspired this conversation. So I want to begin with you. You were responding to a Chicago Tribune article about how Illinois plans to spend some of the recently passed federal infrastructure money. Can you just talk briefly about what caught your attention there?
Well, you know, I'm looking at what's happening all over the country in terms of transportation investments. And I used to live in Chicago, so I'm particularly excited about learning how, you know, Illinois is planning to invest all this new funding that it will get from the federal government over the next few years. But I was disappointed to see that the state of Illinois is setting out plans for highway expansions all over the state, both in the Chicago region, but also in the suburbs and downstate too. And all that highway expansion is likely to worsen the climate situation in the state.
Yeah, there's, a lot of widening projects in Chicago. There's a $217 million project to completely redo the interchanges at Interstate 57 and 74 in Champaign. In fact, the governor this very hour is dedicating a new bridge in the Quad Cities. Jen, you actually introduced the governor. I had to refresh my memory on this on a very cold day in Springfield when he, signed that document about the climate group among the states. How well do you think Illinois' transportation spending priorities are matching its climate ambitions?
Well, I think that we definitely have a history of making transportation decisions based on politics rather than on metrics or looking at environmental issues, whether it be land use or zoning or climate change. And I think that has been really problematic. Governor Pritzker has been a real leader on these issues. We wouldn't have gotten the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act even nearly as strong without him. But another bill that he signed this year was House Bill 253, which moves our IDOT system over to a performance-based planning system that looks at a whole ton of things in making decisions about roads. So making sure that we're fixing what we have, making sure that we're not setting fire to the planet by the decisions that we make on transportation. So he signed that bill as well this year. And, you know, I'm also disappointed by some of the road widening and other infrastructure priorities I'm seeing come out up front. But there is $11 billion there and up to $2.5 billion in terms of what we can go after for electric vehicle charging. And I'm hoping that, these are projects that have been at the front of the line, and maybe we can move up some other projects that are going to reduce our emissions.
All right, we need to take a break here. I want to invite our listeners to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. Maybe you are sitting in traffic at this very moment and thinking, you know, this conversation has its head in the clouds and you want to see road widening. Or maybe you would rather see investments in public transportation and bike paths and making your place in Illinois more walkable. We want to hear from you at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Yonah Freemark of the Urban Institute and Jen Walling of the Illinois Environmental Council. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're spending the rest of the hour today talking about whether Illinois' transportation policies and spending priorities match its climate goals. I think it's difficult to argue with the idea that Illinois is making progress on the energy sector, decrescendoing, if you will, the sound of coal and natural gas fires at power plants over the coming decades and reducing that. And yet, the question remains, what are we doing in terms of reducing carbon emissions from the transportation sector? Those have actually been going up in recent years. We're talking about this with Yonah Freemark, who looks at this from a sort of national perspective at the Urban Institute in Washington, and Jennifer Walling, director of the Illinois Environmental Council here in Illinois, obviously. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So you know, I'm curious, you have that sort of national state comparison perspective. I've seen you tweeting about Texas and the exurbs. How does Illinois do compared to other states in regard to its transportation spending priorities with a sort of climate in mind?
Well, the good news is that compared to a lot of states around the country, Illinois has invested a lot more in alternatives to automobile transportation. And for the listeners out there who don't know, automobile transportation represents the largest share of carbon emissions that come out of the transportation sector. They emit much more than public transportation, for example. And Illinois does, in fact, have a large amount of money that goes to supporting the Amtrak system, supporting Metra, and supporting the CTA in Chicago, all of which is great. Unfortunately, when it comes to expanding highways, Illinois is a lot like states all over the country. It's saying that expanding highways is something we need to accomplish certain goals out there in terms of transportation priorities. But the reality is, when you look at what highway expansions actually do, they neither solve our congestion problems, nor do they solve our environmental problems. In fact, they make the environment worse. And in that way, Illinois is just like almost every state around the country.
All right. I think we have a caller on the line. Rolf is calling in from Woodbridge with something I think relates to this. Rolf, thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. My comment is, I think that there needs to be more planning for bike paths that relate to modes of transportation to work. You know, where I live in Woodridge, there's bike paths, but they don't lead to the train stations like in Downers Grove, Lyle, where you know you need to go to get to work. And makes it difficult to be able to use alternates, you know, to get out of the car and take your bike to work if you can't get to the bike station very easily. So I think that's one of the things that regional planners need to be looking at a little more carefully rather than just recreation. I know they're doing that in downtown Chicago. You know, there's a lot of bike paths that are designed to allow people to get downtown to work and stuff like that. But I don't think it's being done as well in the suburbs.
All right, Rolf, thank you so much for that call. That's an interesting perspective. Jen, what do you think about that? Is transportation as much in mind as recreation when it comes to bicycle planning in Illinois from your perspective?
I don't think that we have done enough of a focus on different types of active transportation, whether it be walking, biking, et cetera. I mean, the caller brought up, we see a lot of disconnected bike packs. We see biking in a scale of looking at what might be long recreational trips. we definitely can be doing better here in terms of the infrastructure we make available for cyclists and, you know, making anything if we want people to be using, to be walking, to be biking, to be using public transit, it has to be convenient and safe, just like we've made automobiles. And so that has to be a priority. And I hope that that'll be a significant portion of the federal money that we're looking at.
So, Jen, I want to come back to this idea you were talking about earlier about this performance-based planning and that legislation that the Environmental Council helped pass this year. Can you talk a little bit more about how, for example, bike or what do you call it, active transportation might be, you know, considered in ways that it would not be prior to this?
Well, in the way that performance-based planning look, and there is a formula under review right now for IDOT based on the bill that we passed. So if people want to weigh in on it, I know that we've written a comment letter. A lot of the bill still is looking at roads because there is difficulty, I think, in separating our road budget from the budget that we're using on biking and on walking, because a lot of those budgets for biking and walking are coming in at the municipal level, whereas the road budgets are coming in from the state or federal level. So there is still some difficulty, I think, with funding. And I think performance-based planning helps, and it helps in, you know, if you're building this road, having a bike on it. But performance-based planning in this bill that we passed is definitely best in terms of looking at how to prioritize the roads that we're doing, which is, you know, I think the problem that you even brought up to begin with is we should be fixing what we have first. There are so many roads that need to be repaired that are in Illinois. We should be focusing on those things that will, you know, not contribute to climate emissions. So that's a lot of what we hope that this bill will do in terms of performance-based planning for our transportation sector.
And Yona, what about you? What, from your perspective, where would you rather see the money going as opposed to, you know, some of the highway right? Widening 290, widening 270, widening 55, widening 57, creating flyovers in central Illinois outside of Champaign, where Interstates 57 and 74 meet for $217 million. What sort of investments would you advocate for instead?
Well, you know, I think that Rolf really pointed something out, which is that we have this opportunity to really expand other forms of transportation than just our roads and highways. People can use cycling to get around our cities in ways that currently are not possible because we don't have safe, secure bike infrastructure. And that's something that we could actually afford to pay for with all this new money that's coming in from the federal government. Now, the federal government has said it plans to give Illinois about $11.2 billion for roads and bridges over the next 5 years. But it turns out that federal rules allow the state government to what's called flex that money into other uses that are on the road. So if the state of Illinois wanted to, it could actually allocate a large share of that roads money to improving facilities for bikers, for giving them safe and convenient ways to get around so that they can get on a bike, not feel like they're going to get run into, and be able to go to work and to other places around their community.
I want to ask about, Jen, when we think about, you know, this idea of creating more active transportation, right? More bike paths, separated bike paths, even going all the way up to investments in public transportation, like be it, you know, light rail or even rapid bus transit, some of the more innovative ideas being tried around the country. There are a lot of cities that right now can barely seem to keep up with sidewalk maintenance. And then there's this issue that people just love their cars, right? So how do we as a society get to the paradigm shift, I think you would say, is necessary to truly tackle climate, you know, carbon emissions and tackle the climate change issue, you know, with, you know, breaking out of our current mindset on transportation?
Well, much like I answered in that previous question, making something safe and convenient is the way to go. And we have worked so hard to make cars safer and convenient for people. You know, you just get in, you arrive at the destination, you don't have to walk anywhere. And we've spent a lot of resources on doing that. It's not, you know, the cheaper option. It's the option that we've chose to resource. And so, you know, I think especially with millennial and Gen Z folks that are living in the city, you know, we're folks that want to be looking at our phone. We want to be doing other things, not just wasting the time that might happen during a commute. So I do think you see some generational shift of people who, you know, just frankly want to be on their phone. So want to be taking public transit, want to be walking to places, et cetera. So, you know, I think that as a society, we need to shift. Like, it's not that, you know, biking and walking and taking public transit can't be safe and convenient. We've just chosen for it not to be. So making those decisions to resource those in a way to make them the default option should be where we're going. And I think we got a lot of work to do there, but I think it could be really exciting.
I love that, the idea that our addiction to our smartphones and distraction is going to be what drives us to a better climate future. Yona, I wonder if you have a perspective on that. I mean, some people hear that and think, oh, great, autonomous cars are going to solve this problem, or electric vehicles. How do you balance that, maybe? And if you want to respond to what Jen said, or just say, you know, we can take it in a different direction and talk about electric vehicles. I think some people think that is going to be the answer, as opposed to more, you know, mass public transit projects.
Well, listen, you know, Jen mentioned earlier in the conversation that we need to expand our electric vehicle charging system. And I think she's absolutely right there. You know, no climate transition that occurs anywhere in the world is going to be successful without the electrification of the transportation system. And so that means everybody currently driving a gas-powered car needs to move to an electric car as soon as possible. And we need to power those electric cars with clean power coming from renewable sources like wind and solar. That is unquestionably part of this conversation. But at the same time, we need to be talking about communities where driving around is not the only way to move. And the reason for that is that there are other sorts of pollution than just what comes out of the tailpipe. There's pollution from your tires and your brakes that ends up getting in people's lungs and making them sick. There's pollution that comes from creating communities that are entirely automobile dependent and therefore actually require more energy production to create. And so we need to create places where people can walk around, where they can bike around and take transit to get to the places that they want. And that requires thinking differently about the sorts of investment that we have in our region. And just to give you one example of that, you know, there's this proposal to widen I-290 out, you know, in the western suburbs of Chicago. What's funny about that is that that's along the route of a old rail line that actually is sort of like the extension of the current Blue Line. It extended out from Oak and Forest Park down to Westchester. You know, one thing we could be thinking about instead of expanding that highway is reactivating that rail line, creating new extended rail service for communities that currently don't have it. We just need to be thinking more generally and broadly about those alternatives.
What about, there was a lot of attention, and we're coming to the end of our time here, but there was a New York Times article recently about roundabouts in Carmel, Indiana, suburb of Indianapolis. Apparently it's been good for reducing emissions because cars aren't idling at stoplights anymore. I mean, are there things like that short of, you know, shifting everyone to more public transit and bike transit? Or is that just sort of, how do you want to say it? The metaphor is escaping me, but, you know, putting off the inevitable transition you think we might have to make. Jen, I'll ask you first on that.
Yeah, I definitely think that there are tweaks to the way that we're doing our infrastructure planning. And I mean, that is what performance-based planning and our hope for the future is based on. Just that, you know, when you widen a road, like, okay, you widen it in a few years, you're going to see the same traffic problem that you started with. So it's not something that actually alleviates traffic, even though, you know, everybody thinks making this road wider, putting more lanes, it's going to fit more cars, it's going to make the traffic better. It doesn't work. We know it. And so I think that, you know, there are things that we can do just looking at the way traffic is routed, looking at, you know, you brought up traffic circles, that sort of thing. There are things that we can do to improve our transportation system, you know, bring in electric vehicles and infrastructure as well. So there are things we can do, but I do think that the active transportation and the electric vehicles probably hold a lot more promise than those tweaks we can make.
You have final 30 seconds to you. Any closing thoughts on how, you know, Illinois should redirect its money to meet its climate ambitions?
You know, the thing I think we need to take seriously is the idea that we should not be putting lipstick on a pig. Here's the thing. We all know that highways are producing carbon pollution. We all know that just adding more highways is going to make that problem worse. And so from that perspective, we need to be thinking about alternatives. We need to be doing something entirely different than what we're currently doing. And that means thinking about alternatives thinking about changing our land uses and moving away from a car-based system to create a healthier and more vibrant state.
I love it. Lipstick on a pig, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's the metaphor I was going for. Thank you both so much for being with us for this interesting conversation. Yonah Freemark is with the Urban Institute. Jennifer Walling is director of the Illinois Environmental Council. Thank you both for being here again today on the 21st. And that is all the time we have for our show. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Before we go, why don't you take a moment to go to our website, 21stshow.org. There you can find us on social media, follow our Twitter account and our Facebook page, and you can also find links to our podcast. Or you can just go right into the Apple Podcast app or Spotify, NPR One, whatever you like to use, and search for The 21st. That's The 21st. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.